What will be the music industry's next big money rights acquisition? And should record labels be paying attention to Scarlett Johansson's battle with Disney? Welcome to Music Business Worldwide's Talking Trends, a podcast that goes behind the headlines to ensure you understand what's really going on in today's music industry. Talking Trends is supported by Volley, a leading financial management platform for the music industry, shaped by industry professionals. No longer will you need to struggle to manage your tour's budgets, forecasts, track expenses, approve invoices, or make payments. Volley Music provides you with a one-stop solution and 24/7 access, 365 days a year. For your free trial, head to volleymusic.com. That's VOLYmusic.com. Let's get down to business. Each week on Talking Trends, we'll be examining two big stories from the entertainment industry, unpicking the impact they could have on music and the business behind it. I'm Louise Porter, and with me is Tim Ingham, founder and publisher of Music Business Worldwide. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Louise.
Okay. In the past few weeks, a number of small yet significant music rights catalog buyouts have been announced that people might have missed. They include one deal in the Netherlands, where hits written for the likes of Madonna and Demi Lovato were acquired by a new fund. Catalog acquisitions like this have been one of the music industry's biggest stories of the past year. Tim, how would you characterize what's going on in this space right now?
The simple characterization is that masses of new money keeps on pouring into the music industry, even if we're seeing a bit of a lull in terms of blockbuster deal announcements. I have a real-life story that I hope perfectly encapsulates what's going on. The other week, and I won't name the company, a new fund was launched in continental Europe. That fund didn't disclose how much money it had to spend, and when I contacted the CEO of the fund to ask if MBW could get that figure, he told me, and I quote, "By today's standards, it's a relatively small amount." So I thought, okay, it's probably $5 million, $10 million, so what? It's still real money and it can make a material impact on the music rights marketplace. He then told me the figure and it was 100 million euros. There's so much money cascading into music rights as we stand today, whether from private investors, public investors, or established institutional investors, that someone with 100 million euros at their disposal deems that amount relatively small. The acquisition you mentioned, Louise, came from another new fund, CTM Outlander Music, which has been jointly created by Netherlands-based CTM and Dallas-based Outlander Fund. It's just bought 177 Music, which, as you point out, has a smallish catalogue, including songs written for Madonna, Demi Lovato and others. The most important point here is that the CTM Outlander Fund says it's ready to spend $1 billion over the next 5 years. The launch of that fund follows the launch earlier this year of another joint fund between BMG and KKR, which says it has a pipeline of $1 billion worth of deals, music rights deals, already under negotiation. So the CTM billion dollar fund and the BMG KKR billion dollar fund are now active in a music rights marketplace with already established players like Primary Wave, Hypnosis Songs Fund, Concord and Round Hill, all of whom have spent multiple billions between them on music rights. And that's not to mention the traditional major music companies who MBW's readers will know each spent nine-figure sums on single artist or songwriter catalogues over the past year. Universal bought the Bob Dylan catalogue for around $400 million. Sony bought the Paul Simon song catalogue for what some people tell me was upwards of $200 million. And Warner bought the David Guetta Masters catalogue for over $100 million. So you can understand why a new player whose entire fund is a mere 100 million euros might think that that's relatively small with everything else going on today.
Interesting. Are you expecting to see any really heavyweight acquisitions in this space come to light over the next few weeks?
That is the big question. I'm currently hearing rumors of yet another billion-dollar fund about to launch with intentions to buy music rights. Credible sources are telling me that KKR is involved and maybe funding it, we don't know, over and above the fund that KKR already has with BMG. What's especially interesting to me is to think beyond the single artist or catalogue deals that have hit headlines today, the Bob Dylan deals, the Paul Simon deals, etc., and wonder which acquisitive funds that have already amassed a strong collection of copyrights might now be thinking of selling up. So funds that we've known in the music business over the past 5-10 years as buyers all of a sudden becoming sellers. I believe the starter pistol on this trend has already been fired by Downtown, which sold off its portfolio of music rights to Concord for around $400 million earlier this year. Downtown is now purely a services company. And I'm expecting that we're now going to see a trend of others who've accumulated large music rights portfolios over the past decade selling those on for a profit. As for who might be in the running to sell, obviously I can only speculate. My mind goes to Spirit Music Group immediately. I think they raised about $350 million in a recap in early 2019. I don't believe we've seen them publicly announce a significant capital raise since then. And that was obviously over 2 years ago, early 2019. So that's one to keep an eye on. And one to definitely keep an eye on is Cobalt. Via its Cobalt Capital arm, Cobalt's been managing two funds focusing on music rights that it recently disclosed in a filing have jointly spent $1.4 billion. The smaller of those funds was sold to Hipgnosis last year for around $320 million. So could we soon see the second Cobalt fund sold for a much larger price tag, even as much as $1 billion? I would say that's a real possibility. The second Cobalt fund I'm talking about launched in 2017 with $600 million in investment capital. And I'm wondering if the institutional investors behind that fund now, 4 years on, will be eyeing a handsome return with its sale. One final point on this topic. I believe this trend of music-focused funds that have been buyers now selling up will ultimately be driven by a sudden jump in value for music rights over the past few years. One key accelerant of that is Universal Music Group's flotation on the Amsterdam Stock Exchange in September this year. Universal continues to maintain a market cap of over $50 billion as a public company, and that's around a third bigger than many analysts expected before it floated. Does that mean that every music rights collection in the marketplace is now also worth a third more than it was before Universal floated? I'm sure companies in control of large bundles of rights who are now keen to sell will be making that argument strongly.
Our second story this week takes us outside the music industry to Hollywood, where Scarlett Johansson last week settled a lawsuit against Disney concerning her payment from the movie Black Widow. Tim, what's the background there, and how could it relate to the music industry?
This is a story that on the surface of it has nothing to do with the music business. As you rightly noted, Scarlett Johansson sued Disney in July for breach of contract over the movie Black Widow. The background to that lawsuit is fascinating. Black Widow was originally intended as a blockbuster cinema release from the Marvel Universe coming out this summer. But largely due to COVID-19 and the uncertainty around lockdowns and on, Disney decided to release it simultaneously in theatres and as an exclusive on its own Disney Plus streaming service. Disney Plus subscribers could watch Black Widow at home on the day of its release, but had to pay an extra $30 in the US at least to get access via a gated system called Premier Access. So you're a subscriber to Disney Plus, you had to pay the $30 on top for your Premier Access to Black Widow. That was all pretty good news for Disney. It could use Black Widow as a way to attract new trialists to Disney Plus, and it would have received far higher margin from sales of Premier Access Black Widow than it would have for traditional box office cinema release tickets. It was less good news for Scarlett Johansson, who claimed that Disney breached a promise in her contract that Black Widow would receive a traditional theatrical release. The crux of her problem was, as stated in her lawsuit, that she would have gotten, quote, very large box office bonuses, close quote, from a theatrical release. This suggests that she didn't with the dual release of the box office and Disney Plus. What's all that got to do with the music industry? Well, for one thing, it speaks to a business where blockbuster talent is becoming uncomfortable with the shift away from a traditionally lucrative format, in this case, theatre or cinema releases, towards another format, streaming, which perhaps doesn't directly recompense major league stars to the same degree as the format from a bygone era. I haven't yet made my mind up whether Hollywood is simply going through growing pains that the music industry has already seen in terms of format shift to streaming, or whether we're increasingly going to see music stars follow Scarlett Johansson. and look for legal remedies in response to their dissatisfaction over their monetary pay through from streaming. That's especially true when it comes to contracts, presumably like Scarlett Johansson's, that were signed in an era when another format was dominant. In her case, cinema, in the music industry's case, CD, vinyl, download, etc. And whether those contracts are fit for purpose in an age when streaming becomes the dominant force of each market.
Thank you, Tim. Music Business Worldwide's Talking Trends will be back next week with more essential insight into today's global music industry. If you liked this episode and are interested in hearing more, subscribe to Talking Trends by searching for Music Business Worldwide on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. We appreciate you spending time with us.